top sports where the takes don't miss. The prof with the stats, the champ with the fist. World of bringing fire, cowboy, tie, riding bold. Bulls calling bets, watch the stories unfold. Oh, and it's truly eyebrows running the show. It's high top sports, baby. Let's get it. Let's go.
Good evening, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to High Top Sports. This show is, of course, brought to you by Prize Picks. It is, in fact, the best day of the week here on High Top Sports. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. Welcome back for another banger. We've got a jam-packed one, as we always do here on Wednesday. Special guest joining us, recruiting insider Tyler Harden, who has been on an absolute burner lately, which we will get into with his predictions, his thoughts, all about recruiting. A massive weekend is in store for the Florida Gators on who is visiting. Possible commits could be happening. We'll break all that down here in just a few moments. And then we'll talk about the new schedule release. Some times have came out for this week, or the early weeks of the college football season. Very excited. We get a look at our calendar and start planning for the big weekend, the big kickoff, because we are less than 100 days away. And Coach Summerall spoke about the 24-team playoff expansion. It has been the conversation of the week. We've talked about it plenty on our morning show that we do every single morning. And now Coach Summerall has put his hat into the arena that we'll be talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, the boys are here. Clark, Swolder, and of course our special guest, the guest of honor, if you will, Tyler Harden. Gentlemen, hope you guys, hope you guys had a great week.
Struggling with that one.
You know, it's getting old, How we doing, boys?
Yeah, doing good, man. I've had Texas Tech fans in my comment section, and I got to deliver a message to them real quick. I don't watch softball. So right. Texas Tech, you might swing a bat, but football is what I know. 0 points in the playoff. We're in one round, and then out they go. Now they're chirping in my comments like they run the show, but they don't know because it's the best day of the week. Let's get it. Let's go.
Connor?
I'm sorry. I had an HR complaint filed against me last week, so I have nothing to say.
Okay. I think to make this a neutral thing, to make it respectful, is that you get to say your rhymes, but then Connor gets to grade them. I think that's only fair out of 10. I think what we should do.
Yeah, like he could do a 1 through 10 scale. I'll take that. He'll probably just give me ones all the time. But
yeah. I mean, listen, get better. Go ahead, Connor.
Look, I'm white, man.
This week, I don't know, man. What, 3.5?
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough.
It wasn't great this week.
Week one was a banger. Like 2 weeks ago.
I was going to say, even though I gave you a hard time about it, week one was great. Yeah, as compared to what's followed.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was going to do one for Connor, but I might save it. So.
All right, 3.5.
I could do it now.
Nope. One
late now. You missed your opportunity.
All right.
Gotta wait. Tyler, we apologize for the.
Oh, I'm letting y'all do your thing, man. I'm letting y'all do your thing.
And then we're just bickering with you. Like, I told you.
No, I'm just smiling and observing. And
Tyler's like, recovered recruiting or what? Like
his next prediction.
Yeah, you brought up Texas Tech. I was like, Jalen Brewster. Not even softball.
He's ready.
We're so dialed in these days.
That's
man.
How I am.
That's how it is.
Tyler Harden's new crystal ball, High Top Sports breakup happening here. That's going to be his new CB this week.
I made a comment on a Texas Tech thing, and it wasn't even related to softball. And then I kept getting softball comments. I'm like, I know the game happened, and I know like the ending result, but I didn't know like the whole thing, the aftermath of it, like what was the storyline. And then, of course, like I saw all the videos and stuff, but I was like, I don't even watch the stuff, man.
You know, you could just not troll a fan base for like 24 hours. That there is another side to Twitter.
It wasn't even a troll. I'll have to show you.
They can't do that though.
Yeah, it's just not good. Tyler, we appreciate you. Apologize.
Thank you, Tyler. I appreciate you guys. Yeah, I'm glad you're having a good time.
The dysfunctional family. Okay, it's we call family effing fun around here. Okay, we keep it clean. Yes, Tyler, welcome to the show, my man. We've got a great weekend in store. We had John just a few weeks ago, and it's been great ever since you've been on. I think we got a few more commits after your visit here with us, and we're hoping for some more good news this weekend. Can we talk about the OV that is set up? Is there any? What I'm excited to see is kind of just how this staff operates. I don't know if you have any insight or maybe some things that you've heard that could be a bit different, or you won't find out until the rest of us do. But thoughts on this weekend headed up anyway.
Yeah, I think first of all, the Thursday to Saturday approach was very interesting. That was something, you know, the staff put in place very early on, like several months ago. And, you know, it kind of, you know, made me wonder a little bit. I'm like, is Florida the only school in the country doing this Thursday to Saturday? And, you know, if so, like, way to, you know, separate yourself and kind of like establish a new beginning type of thing, just like something small there. But, you know, obviously we've seen, you know, other things that this staff has done to kind of separate themselves and, you know, kind of, you know, put their money where their mouth is, where it's like, hey, this is a new beginning. This isn't going to be like the past and we're going to be the ones to turn it around. So like I said, that's just something small, but, you know, just, you know, looking at, you know, the stuff they're going to be doing, of course, you know, just they're tapping into things beyond just what's, you know, between the lines on the football field, right? They're tapping into Gatormade, they're tapping into academics. So, you know, they're giving these guys like the full dose of not only the Florida football program, but the University of Florida. And I feel like, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this staff really comes out the gates and pitches everything the school has to offer, not just the football program.
So the you mentioned, and I find this intriguing, so they're moving the schedule to Thursday to Saturday, and that differs more so from Friday to Sunday, right? So
yeah.
Just yep. A day earlier. Now, you said you find it interesting. I know when Napier was here, we moved the spring game from Saturday to Thursday to kind of combat competing. Is this in a similar category or not so much? If there is an advantage, what is it? Or maybe there isn't. I don't know yet.
Yeah, it could be. I feel like that might be like a long-term thing where it's like, hey, you know, we could cut your OV short and jam it into, you know, 2 days or a day and a half. So that way you can, you know, get down here and type of thing. And there's no like, oh, like I'm already going to be here for this weekend. It's like, well, we'll fly you in for Thursday. You know, you'll be here from Thursday to maybe Friday afternoon, and then you can go wherever else you're going. So that's my thought, you know, just kind of the outside looking in on that part. Just to kind of avoid those, like, you know, weekends, hey, I'm already set to be somewhere else. Florida can kind of combat that and be like, well, you know, you could come down here because we're starting on Thursday instead of Friday. That's just my thought.
No, I love it. Again, I was just wondering, you know, kind of like, what is the approach? Again, I said it in a video. Listen, I'm Team Sunshine right now. I'm all in. So whatever they choose to do, I really don't have any too much critique to them at all. I do want to, I'm going to ask one more question, and I know Clark is juiced to ask you a few, but Brewster was announced today to take an official visit to LSU. And here's my thought on this. First glance, I mean, look, that is what it is. Like, I'm not surprised. That's you would expect LSU to put their hat in the mix. Why wouldn't they? It's the number one defensive lineman. To my opinion, the fact that there isn't more involvement with other schools is very surprising that we don't see him doing as much as he possibly can. I do feel that it's very late. Right. And to me, I don't, that's why I wouldn't feel concerned. The part that does concern me is we've seen LSU join other conversations late, one being the coaching search and having success in that. Is there, you being an LSU guy, is there concern from LSU? Is there concern in that camp? Is it, I mean, obviously it's recruiting, so there always can be, but where's your thoughts on all of that?
Yeah. You know, having a couple conversations today about it. I don't think there's, you know, a ton of concern when it comes to like where Florida stands in that. You know, I'm still, you know, kind of in the boat where Florida probably has the best resume to go off of when it comes to, you know, just side by side with Texas Tech in his recruitment. You know, LSU came in, like you said, kind of late, relatively recently. But, you know, this is a recruitment where that's going to happen. You know, schools are going to come in, schools are going to come out, kind of like you saw with Miami. Miami was kind of an early contender to flip Brewster from Texas Tech. And, you know, now they're kind of out of it. LSU took their spot, you know, Oregon's been involved here, you know, in and out kind of lately, but, you know, like I said, Florida has built a really strong presence in Brewster's recruitment. You know, seeing LSU come in, I'm not surprised that not, you know, just LSU, but other schools are kind of coming in later in the game. You know, this is a recruitment that's going to happen. You know, even in the fall, we're going to see that. It's inevitable with the number one defensive lineman in the country. You know, it's inevitable. So, you know, I'm not surprised that another school has added into the mix. And if I had to guess, you know, no matter what happens in the future, there's going to be more. That's just, you know, we've seen this happen. And I feel like it's going to work out that way.
You're going to play ball with a big fish. You're going to swim a big ocean. So that's just kind of what it's par for the course. But look, I'm not glad they're coming late, but I like the fact that it is late. I feel like that should, I mean, Florida got in as soon as they could, essentially, as soon as John got there. It felt like they put their name into that. If you had to, your personal opinion, not like, hey, based on conversations, just you knowing LSU, you knowing Texas Tech, what you know about Florida, what you know about recruiting, where's your gut right now?
Yeah, I've said it, you know, a few times. I think I said it on, you know, last time I was here, you know, the...
Still the same then.
I remain unchanged. Like, if, you know, if I don't think, you know, if he had to ask me today if he's going to flip or not, I don't think he will. But, you know, I could have a different answer tomorrow. You know, I can have a different answer next week. It's one of those recruitments. It just keeps changing, kind of like I said. And but if he did flip to one school, I think it's Florida. And I, you know, the conversations I've had and, you know, like you said, I think, you know, that's kind of the common answer as well. So.
10-4. Clarktastic.
Clarktastic. Wow. Take me out of the intro song and I get a new nickname.
All right. All right. All right. The people spoke. I don't know what you want. Listen, we're picking on Dave, not me. All right. Go ahead.
That's fair. That's fair. But no. So, Tyler, I know you've been putting out like your pre OV primers and everything. And a lot of these guys are kind of people that Florida fans are super familiar with. Obviously, your Kennedy Jacksons, your commitments, and your Elias Pearls, Peyton Millers. I think one person that kind of is flying under the radar as somebody that not a ton of people know about is a running back prospect, and it's Keldred Benn from Oklahoma, or sorry, committed to Oklahoma from Texas. Give us a little bit of insight on that one, because his name hasn't come up a ton, but he's somebody that's been on the official visit list for quite a while and somebody that looks like Florida is pushing pretty hard for.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Florida for the 2027 class, they're looking to take two running backs. You know, that's the consensus. That's pretty well known. Obviously, they have Andrew Beard in the fold, so that's one. And it's kind of between four-star running back Trey Martin and then Keldred Benn, like you said. Right now, the priority, what I'm hearing is Trey Martin out of Louisiana. It's kind of between Florida and LSU there, from what I'm hearing. But Benn is like that, you know, right behind Martin. It's like if Martin goes to LSU, maybe they'll, you know, kind of hammer in on Benn a little more. So having him on campus for an OV this weekend is certainly big as well, because, you know, Martin is not a shoe-in at Florida, you know, and neither is Benn. Of course, he's committed to Oklahoma. So having them both on campus and, you know, allowing them to see the school, like I said earlier, you know, that's big. And, you know, because it can go, you know, in the end, like, you don't know which way it's going to go. So having them both on campus and getting looks for both of them is definitely good to fill that second spot.
Big Trey Martin fan. So obviously priority number one for Florida. The kid's a phenomenal running back. Always nice if you're Florida to try and go grab somebody from hostile territory, where LSU should be the favorite. Kids don't leave the state very often, but Florida's done a really good job, it sounds like, in that recruitment. And then I guess just the next thing is I want to make sure that the people that are listening kind of understand what happens when Tyler puts in a crystal ball prediction on 247, because in the 2027 class, he is 100%. So yeah, when those things go in, sparks could start flying pretty soon. You recently put one in for, I believe I'm saying this correctly, Jabwa Smith.
Jabias.
Is that really how he pronounces it?
Yep.
Jabias.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're
wow.
Both,
I was way off.
It's Jaboy. Okay.
Okay. So Jabias. Okay. Perfect. Jabias. So you recently put one in for Jabias Smith. An outstanding linebacker out of the state of Georgia. Bulldogs really want him. His recruitment's kind of been all over the place as of the last few months. I think Texas Tech was involved. Georgia was involved. I think A&M was a little bit involved at one point. What makes you feel good about putting that prediction in just before official visit weekend?
Yeah, you know, conversations I've had going into, you know, the official visit weekend, you know, I feel like you can look at this recruitment and like you said, it was all over the place, right? But kind of what went under the radar on Florida's end is that they just kept chipping away. And now they're, you know, going into a big official visit weekend. They got the first official visit. You know, they have the opportunity to set the tone. And, you know, this is kind of the epitome of the new staff just completely turning things around. The previous staff at Florida had like little to no presence in Smith's recruitment. And obviously, like you said, Smith is one hell of a ball player. You know, I think so as well. You know, just turn on the tape, it'll say it for itself. You know, so Greg Gasparotto, linebackers coach, of course, John Summerall was involved. Brad White was involved. You know, they've made this kid an absolute priority. You know, they made their way back into the mix, you know, after a couple of months of just going up to Swainsboro and seeing him and, you know, just staying on him heavy. Of course, there's a lot of linebacker experience on the staff, and that was something Smith has always taken note of. So, you know, I just feel really good about, you know, where Florida stands going into the OV, and, you know, I think they get it done in the end. And, you know, that's certainly going to be a big pickup if that's what happens in the end. So
we were critical.
And linebacker was a position that we mentioned on this podcast several times where there wasn't a lot of smoke going into, I would say probably until what, the last couple weeks, last week, really, on the recruiting trail. So to see them kind of pick up steam with Smith, and then of course you've got several other linebackers that are going to be visiting. I think it was said that, what's his name? Isaac McNeil. They're trying to get him to flip his official visit to this weekend before his commitment date, where he's currently committed to, or not committed to, but, currently set to visit Auburn this weekend, to try and run that one, down the line. So, I mean, there's some pretty solid smoke for the Gators at linebacker. So, recently.
Yeah, when it comes to McNeil, you know, that was, you know, a thing where Florida was trying to get him on campus for this weekend. And I've been told that, you know, that's just not going to happen. And Auburn's going to see him this weekend, and Auburn's going to get a crack at him. And, you know, June 2nd commitment. So it's going to come quick, and we're going to see what happens, you know, especially with this Auburn OB, and see what comes of that.
Dave? So, there's a name that popped up here recently. Obviously, we'd all know about Kennedy Jackson visiting and all that, but a guy by the name Antonio Barry's from Mississippi's top 100 composite per 247 on your site. So what's the deal with that guy? Did he just came in at the last minute, wanted to visit? I know Troutwine's been deal? On a...
What's the deal? What's the deal? What you want to know about it?
What's the deal, man? It's just a little surprise. Troutwine's been on fire. I mean, what's going on here, you know?
Yeah. Like you said, newer name on the board. He was only offered by Florida at the end of April. So, you know, this moved quick, but, you know, he comes from Tupelo High School, and, you know, Florida, they just went into Tupelo High School last cycle, you know, with Jarelyn McCoy. So he's got a familiar face on campus. That always works out well. But yeah, you know, just another guy that I feel like, you know, recognizes Troutwine's development ability, just as pretty much every other offensive lineman has seen, you know, on their board to some degree, right? Varying degrees. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what comes of this OB with Barry. I feel like it's going to provide a lot more perspective on where Florida really stands. You know, just talking to people, Alabama is the school trending there. And, you know, Alabama is really, really high on him. But it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how Florida approaches that and, you know, what comes of it if Florida makes a really big move and goes up the list in his process.
Now, with Barry in this offensive line, obviously Kennedy Jackson was a name he just mentioned. Have you put any, I'm going to go back to Barry just a minute, but have you put any crystal balls for Jackson as well? I know I've seen a few have popped up.
Yeah. You know, just gathering intel still, you know, I don't want to.
Gotta keep the decisions hot. I hear you.
Yeah. No, just, you know, gotta see it all the way through. And, you know, once I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. And just, we haven't reached that point yet.
Yeah, and so real quick. Oh, go ahead. I was going to say real quick. I've been watching on 247. You've been kicking ass, by the way.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah,
this is my first time I get to interact with you. I think you've been on some of the morning shows at High Top. Biggest storyline right now in this recruiting cycle. We're at 16 commits. We know we were discussing maybe Florida takes 2022, leaves room for the portal. We don't know any of that. Still got a whole line of visits for the whole rest of the month. But what's the biggest storyline that you're watching position wise right now?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many, right? You know, we could take a variety of angles, look at the offensive line and just how dominant, you know, Florida has been on the recruiting trail. It's pretty much pick of the litter at who they, you know, can go after at this point. It's talent Florida hasn't seen on campus in a very long time. I mean, you look at Max Hiller, right? He's the first five-star offensive lineman to commit to Florida in a decade, and this staff hasn't even coached a game at Florida. Like, that doesn't really happen to my knowledge, at places, right? So you can look at the offensive line and just say the rapid turnaround that Florida's seeing with the talent they're bringing on campus, let alone committing to the program, is just really crazy to see. In the defensive line, right? Kind of the theme that they're bringing on to, you know, the class, the 27 class, is just a lot of developmental pieces, right? You know, I know you guys were joking around the three stars, right? But, you know, these are guys that, you know, ceilings are very high. You know, like for me with Steve Bentley, it's the ceiling is so, yeah, so high. And I was asked by somebody yesterday, like, who's the most underrated prospect in this class? To me, it's Steve Bentley, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. The ceiling is crazy. Rub. He's been playing football for a year. He's originally from England. And, you know, some people might look at the star rating and be like, hey, like, what's going on here? But, you know, these are developmental pieces, guys that can play multiple slots on the D-line. So I really like the developmental piece there and kind of the approach that Gerald Chapman and the staff are really taking for the D-line. So, you know, when it comes to one position group, that's hard to answer because there's so many different angles you could take and so many different things you can look at when it comes to just, like, you know, just the storylines of the position groups in this class.
And we see right here, I mean, obviously your top four commits or five commits thus far, three of them being offensive linemen. Kennedy Jackson would be another big one. I think he would bump one of these guys, if I'm not mistaken, if he were to commit in the next couple of weeks here. Of course, to Florida would obviously be ideal. I do know that Smith is also another top one as well. So again, one to keep an eye on as well. There's 17 names we agreed upon before the show started that are visiting this weekend. I know there was a...
Yeah, I think 18 was the final number.
Oh, we did get to 18. Okay. Is there a name that we haven't mentioned yet that you are really intrigued by that could really make an impact to this class? It might be a bigger addition than we may be realized on that it's not seen on paper yet.
This is a guy that's kind of been thrown around for a while, you know, in-state guy, Kamari Whitfield, they call him Bam. He's down from Orlando at the First Academy. You know, this staff has been really high on him back to Clark when guy. He was committed to Tennessee, and, you know, and he can decommitted from Tennessee in February. And, you know, a lot of arrows were just kind of naturally pointing to Florida, of course, being an in-state guy and everything. And, you know, that's just, you know, Florida is just kind of, you know, pedal to the metal for several months now, just making him an absolute priority. The staff is really, really high on him. You know, he's a guy that's, you know, probably going to play the star, you know, get some reps at safety, you know, at the next level. So, you know, having him on campus for an official visit this weekend is definitely big. You know, that's a guy that the staff has been working really, really hard to, you know, get in the fold. And, you know, there's an opportunity for that this weekend. So he's set to make his commitment in July. And it's going to be hard to kind of tear him away from that date. I think it's some family member passed away, you know, on that day, July 6th. So, you know, that's an important date for him. And, you know, obviously that's bigger than college decision, right? But,
right,
you know, if an early decision were to come, you know, I think Florida's in a good spot. Nebraska's one to watch. You know, I heard that's legit. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. And that one, I feel like, is kind of flowing below the radar just because he's been on the board for so long and things like that.
There was a tweet earlier today that I saw that I agree with, because we've mentioned it a handful of times, of just where recruiting is heading, how the seasons are unfolding. And hell, I mean, you can even take a look at what Friday Night Lights used to be at Florida to what it is now and what it has been for the last couple of years. It was a pretty iconic. I mean, it's still an iconic event, but I would say it was a kind of a trampoline-esque event that would catapult you into that closing kind of weekend into that current recruiting cycle, right? So for example, for this 2027 class, that weekend would help you close towards the end of the year, which is not even close to that anymore. Like, that's the 2028 weekend now, if you will. And the tweet that I saw was like, look, 2027 prospects attending Power 5 camps this summer isn't the best business decision. And we've seen it. Look, the kids will still go, but it's nowhere near what it was. And I'll call it the Marcus Stokes era, because that was the kind of the first big one that I went to. And Marcus was out there slinging it, right, to some of the other recruits. Like, he was heavily involved. People wanted to show off their skill set, where now it's more of like it's weird because those guys show as if they're like the pros in the room. You know what I mean? Like, they're kind of like nonchalant, just walking around hanging out. And it almost has turned into a smaller OV weekend. But my point to saying all that is, do we expect a lot of these kids to basically be committed in that by that early S July mark and basically done? I mean, like you said, Brewster and a few others will probably head into the fall, but this class will be what about 90%, you think, by the July completed?
Yeah, I would think that's a reasonable expectation. And it has to just do with NIL, right? Guys want to find their spots. Guys want to, you know, of course, get the most amount of money that, you know, they can in the position that they're in. And I feel like that's just moving the timeline up more and more, right? You know, kind of like you said, we're at, you know, 16 commits in Florida's class right now. And, you know, technically we haven't even hit official visits yet, right? You know, I know last year was a different situation, but Florida had zero commits in their 2026 class. So it's definitely interesting to see how the timeline keeps changing just based off trends in the college football landscape. And like I said, I think NIL is, you know, definitely the driving factor in that, you know, kind of shift up in the timeline into the spring.
No question. Well, I'm excited. We've always nicknamed these months Jubilee June. That might have to die. We've changed a lot of nicknames and things that we've done around here. Jubilee June might have to be laid to rest. So I've got to find a new nickname for June. And we have some fireworks this weekend. We might have Mayhem May. I don't know. Well, that's kind of off the top of the dome here, but
could be
Mayhem May. Is that a good one? Mayhem sounds bad, right? Mayhem is like the Allstate guy. We can't do Mayhem. We need like Mystical May. Magical May. Now I just
sound like Disney Gator.
I feel like we're at a strip club. Anyways, Tyler.
Massive May.
Thought you were going to say something else. That was. Okay, Tyler, we appreciate you for joining us and putting up with this chaos of what we call we call it a podcast. I don't know if it is, but we claim to be one. Yeah. Great stuff as always, man. If you want to go ahead and just kind of a little heat check, you know, and throw in a crystal ball for Brewster, we wouldn't be opposed. We wouldn't be opposed. I mean, heat check.
Well, he probably wants some stuff up.
I want to see, like, what came first? Is it whatever Tyler puts in, then it happens? Or is it he's just been that good? You know what I mean? Like, we don't know until we try it. So, like, if you put it in and then it happens, maybe, you know, you've got the magic wand. It's all that I'm saying.
I don't know, guys. I don't think tonight's the night, man. I don't think that night's coming anytime soon.
Just wanted to give you the platform. That's all.
I appreciate it. Yeah. No, I'll keep
it in mind. Hey, look, maybe in a week, you know, I mean, maybe we can compromise, you know.
Man.
Do the best we can.
We've seen crazier things happen. You know? So,
yeah, Tyler, tell them where
you guys, as always.
Yeah, man. Tell them where they can follow you and keep up with you, my man.
Yeah. So, Twitter, TTJ Harden 8, Instagram, Tyler Harden 24/7. Works, of course, is over at Swamp 24/7 and 24/7 Sports. You know, we're going to be active all summer over there on the message boards and everything. So, you know, come hang out. You know, I appreciate you guys as always.
Thank you. Keep crushing, man. Absolutely, dude.
You're doing a great job, man. Appreciate you being on the beat. It's been fantastic.
Awesome. Predictions are better than Wilt falling. I mean,
nah.
Yo, it's just 5 minutes, Dave. 5 minutes without trolling. It's just 5 minutes.
He's 100%.
Be good, man. Go get her, Tyler.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Egg amazing. Oops. Egg amazing. Hey-o. Well, great stuff. Shout out to Clark for getting that making that happen with Mr. Harden there. Great stuff. Great interview. Great questions from you two gentlemen as well. We got some super chats here rocking and rolling. $20 from Phillip, my man, our truck driver. Super sticker. Love that. $2. Daniel Riviera, always just living in the Florida football shadow. Florida shouldn't brag about football. And love that.
Yeah, so is Uncle Lou. Uncle Lou talks about us all the time, too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Look, they've got to get visibility it somehow, right? John Copeland, $20 from man John. Thank you, John. Nothing to say much. John. Just dropping in and showing some love. Much appreciated. And then also become a new member.
Oh, very my nice. Lord.
I mean, just John's feeling juicy. John's fired up.
Hey, John, make sure to join our Discord with that, by the way.
Get on in. Yeah, the crystal balls for Brewster would break the internet. I don't know if you can even put a crystal ball. It just needs to happen. You know what I mean? Like, those are one of those things where, like, the graphic just drops the bombshell. Like Troutwine, or it's not Troutwine, Chapman just puts up a winky face. Like, he just posts a selfie. You know what I mean? Like, just something crazy. Just some wild nonsense needs to happen. Boys and girls, almost 400 strong here. Be sure to smash it, like it, subscribe. We are about to dive into some juicy stuff here. Coach talked about 24 playoff expansion, which I haven't had a chance to talk with you two about it. Then we're also, not in any particular order, but the first, it's just the first three games we got time slots for. No more came out, right? I was looking to see if we would get any more.
We got first three, and then I think the Florida State games time slot is set as well, if I recall
correctly.
Because it's
Black Friday, but we already knew that.
Correct.
We knew that.
Though. Correct.
That's 3:30?
3:30, yeah.
Yeah.
That's look, that Friday, we didn't talk. I think we talked about it on that Friday is not a bad Friday. That Friday is not the same as like Miami's first three games being on Friday.
No, so isn't that always Egg Bowl Friday?
Yeah. So yeah. We talked with Allie. Allie was distraught about it, but I was like, that Friday is a primetime Friday, in my opinion. I don't look at that Friday. Like it's like Labor Day weekend, right? You have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Yes.
Are all prime time. Like, I would be cool with any of those days, to be honest with you. Like, Sunday or Monday. Monday, because you have the next game out so much. But Sunday, primo for me, because that weekend is just dedicated to just consuming football. Yeah. Friday on the CW in the second week of football season, that is not a good Friday. Okay.
Friday at 6:30 on the CW.
Well, hey, let me tell you this. The mighty Miami Hurricanes got one on Saturday on the CW.
Yeah, big time. Listen, I'm going to talk about it. I have a video coming out, and I know Dave loves a troll, and he's going to hate this, but, you know, I have been a bit advocate that they play in the ACC. It's a shitty conference. Their schedule is a joke. It's like, as a fan, I don't know. I feel like it would be boring, but I digress. But the point is, my point I'm making is, like, they kind of get the last laugh because there really isn't any repercussions, clearly. And I think that's where this whole debacle with the SEC is happening. Is like Miami's going to coast on through. And there is a point to where it's like they don't control who they play in their conference. I get that. Like, that's not their fault. So it's like we're like kind of poking fun at them. Like, oh, you don't play anybody. It's like, yeah, we're happy about it. We get to roll right on in. Like, I mean, like if you ask me, like, hey, Florida gets to play their schedule and they swap, I'm like, bet.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I enjoy our schedule. I like the chaos from week to week. Like, I'm a psychopath. But if I look at their schedule, like, we're going to the playoffs. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, but then they'll turn around and make fun of you for like losing like five games when you play like the hardest teams on ever on the schedule. Yeah.
That's why do they care? You out of all people, you're the trolling king. You would do the exact same thing. Like, that's where you make your living. Yeah, so
they lost to SMU and like they lost to teams they shouldn't have lost to last year and still made the playoffs. They shouldn't have even made it. They didn't even win the conference.
I agree. That's my point, though, is that the schedule, like to go 10-2 with a schedule like that, there wasn't much consequence. That would be the my thing is like, well, why wouldn't they continue to just? They're laughing at us. They get the last laugh in this scenario. That's what frustrates me.
They said no more cupcakes. They get a cupcake every game.
That's my point.
I mean,
I don't know why they would even be mad about it. They're taking full advantage of it. This show is, of course, brought to you by Prize Picks. Great transition there, for the boys.
Oh, you want some money?
Yeah, we've been cooking. Boys been hot. Wow. But I'm gonna pass. We were cold this morning. Yeah, this isn't doing well. This is not when we already lost the first leg, so that's not great. So. I'm going to pass the buck to you boys. Dave's always obviously the king at this. So, Dave, you'll get the first grab at this. Prize Picks, use that code HMA down there. Link is in the description. You play $5, you get $50 instantly. Dave, where are we headed, big guy? What sport tonight?
Oh, fella? Dude, right up at the top. Scroll down a little bit. My boy Freddie Freeman, only 5.5 fantasy points? Or no, hitter fantasy points. Yeah, pick that. Over. Take the over.
More.
Yeah, hit more.
Look at this guy. This guy doesn't watch sports, but when it comes to like this, he just knows.
All right. By the way, that home run slip, I got three out of four.
He's a baseball betting savant.
Yeah. We'll do, you got to pick somebody else different besides Dodgers players too to get the slip through. Shoot, I don't even know. The Braves playing tonight?
They're getting their butt spanked.
They're getting their butt spanked right now. I would pick Bellinger's currently playing. Keep scrolling down.
These are just what's popular, by the way. You can go into something else if you like.
We'll do go to hitter fantasy score. Those are usually good. We're up in the top. All right, let's see. Mookie Betts is a good batter. I'd go over for him.
More.
More. Hit more.
Green guy. All right,
we need a different team. I would do different team. I would do Colorado Rockies. Let's see. Let's go Hunter Goodman over. More. Yeah, you could do that too.
A little Green Goblins for the boys. Okay, let's see if Dave's got the juice cooking. I like it.
That's a three banger too.
Yeah, I like it. There it is. Lineup's locked in. Sorry, Carter. He was cooking. I didn't mean if you had any ideas. No, it's fine.
Let him cook.
Yeah, you weren't allowed in that one. Give me a follow at you on High Top. Look, we've been doing pretty well. So you guys can follow along with us. You can give Dave a follow as well at Dave Meister on the Prize Pick.
By the way, guys, I bet on a home run slip for four home runs. Jordan Alvarez has hit a home run. Byron Buxton's hit a home run. Brandon Lowe's hit a home run. I'm just waiting on Murakami, and I'll win $1,800.
That's insane. Predicting four homers is nuts.
I'm not even lying. Look.
That's nuts. Whoops.
Yeah, right there.
We believe you. We believe you. Boys and girls, Prize Picks, use the code HMA. Great stuff there. All right, let's dive into it. Let's talk about the schedule in here for just a quick second. The schedule for the three games was released. The timing of it, and I like it. I'm a big fan of it. Again, I guess we have no four because we know the Friday game as well. But we've got FAU 7:45, which I love. I think the first game, it's with it being a cupcake, always needs to be at night. I think the Swamp has kicked off of the night every year for the last couple of years, has it not? Outside of Miami, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I don't think Miami did. That was the only one. And again, that one felt like a 3:30 time slot. It sucked when we lost that game. And then you're just kind of sitting in the hot sun, which is never fun.
Well, a lot of people left at halftime. So,
and what yeah, was funny, it was.
What's funny is I think they were only down by like two touchdowns, maybe one. The crowd didn't have no belief in Billy Napier coming back, so they just all left.
Yeah, it was tough. 7:45, though, I love that. A little late, a little more like a 7:00-esque, but I think the Swamp at night, I think for Summerall's first game, that place is going to be absolutely electric. Obviously, it's warm in September, so that nighttime game, you get that, I'm sure they'll utilize that as a massive recruiting weekend. The energy is at an all-time high. Perfect time slot there. The following week against the Camelback Cigarettes team is at 5:30 p.m. at the Swamp as well. Again, don't hate that time slot is either. And then we go to Auburn at 7 p.m. So this team is going to be well versed at nighttime games and planning pretty. I mean, off rip, it's going to be hostile. I mean, Florida is going to be nuts week one and week two. The Swamp sells out regardless of who they're playing, especially with it being early on in the year. And then that Auburn game is really going to set the tone for both teams, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I love night games, man. It's a lot of tailgating time. You know how much I love tailgating.
That's true.
I'm sure High Top will be in full force the first game of the season anyway. So
we usually are.
We'll have something planned. I don't know what it is. We probably don't know what it is yet. We haven't went into it yet. I do like night games. Of course, a lot of people, I was actually in our chat, they said, like, I hate big games being at night because I have to wait all the way through the games. Because you know how those games are a little bit nerve-wracking, so you like to get them over so you can enjoy the rest of college football Saturday. But I don't mind it. Yeah, I agree with that.
That nighttime game, like you just have the anticipation all day of watching other football. Noon games suck in the sense as like because it's in the middle of the day. But as a father of two and the chaos, like noon games, like low-key slap. there's something about them. Just you get them out of the way, and then you kind of have the rest of the Saturday. I love big noon kickoff. Like I'm a slut for a big noon kickoff game. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah,
like,
I used to love those Big Ten noon games. Like I would wake up super early just to watch the Big Ten. Like you know, Michigan, Ohio State would sometimes be big noon.
Well, wait. Waking up at 12 is super early for you.
Actually, this is when you West Coast, bro. What are we talking about here? What are we doing, dude?
Wait till you get 10 years older. It'll be like super late. I stay up till like 3 a.m. I get up at like 9. I get like no sleep.
I don't think we're staying up till 3:00 a.m, Dave.
I don't get any sleep right now either, but it's not because I'm staying up till 3 a.m.
I think your formula might be a bit different than the rest of us. And I don't think I'm going to get 40 going to bed at 3 a.m.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you're doing it backwards.
Dude, I'm already getting home from work on a Friday and like falling asleep on the couch at 7:30.
Cooked.
Just passed out.
Yeah. Oh, no, not me. Not me. I guess I'm full.
We know.
I'm full of, you know what? Anyway,
yeah, you're full of Jaeger.
But like, I'll be sitting on my couch just like flipping through channels, especially after college football, just like looking at different YouTube channels or highlights or whatever. And then before you know it, it's like 3 a.m. Like, I got to go to bed.
That's not how that works, Dave. I don't think that.
Maybe when I was like 22.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't drink as much anymore because
Dave's spilling the beans. Joe Klatt and Gus Johnson, they I could go to sleep to those two gentlemen. I know people don't love Gus, but I'm a big Gus Johnson guy.
So. I love Gus.
I think listening to Gus
call a game is I love it.
I don't know why he doesn't like him and Joe Buck, like, weirdly get a lot of flack for whatever reason. And I think there's, I mean, Buck, I think is one of the best. I mean, I can't watch the World Series if Buck's not calling. Like that's how like the two are, you know, compatible with each other. And the same thing with Big Ten. Why Gus hasn't got a big time game, I don't know. Reese Davis does a great job. Let's not get it twisted. And Kirk does a good job. But give Gus a fatty. Give him a juicy one. I would love Gus on an SEC game. Woo! Fire me up. Fire me up.
Man, he hit a single. I was hoping he hit a home run.
Well. Dave's cash in on
down
live.
To one. I'm down to one.
Let's talk playoff expansion, boys. Let's get your thoughts and opinions and feelings on this. So here's what Coach's quote was. I'll read his quote and then we'll talk about it. I think access is a nice when you have. Wait, I think access is nice to have when you're at that level. I do think being on both sides of this now. Are there two deserving G6 teams in a 12-team playoff? I would question that. I think this league, top to bottom, is very challenging. I'm for playoff expansion. Summerall said so. This is kind of, and I talked about this on an earlier show. It is interesting. He is in a very unique position because he was on the other side, which no other coach and sitting in his seat has lived that world where he benefited from the current standing. Being a G5 playoff coach or G6 playoff coach, they haven't been there. So he benefited from that ruling of, in a way, I wouldn't say the G6 getting a free spot. Well, they do get a free spot, but he got double the duo last year because of the other ruling of the six highest or whatever or five highest conference champions in the ACC being complete doo-doo. So then that's why we got two. And now he's looking at it like, well, damn, like you're... And Sark said it today. He's like, look, and his opinion or his approach to it was very intriguing to me. He's like, everybody is on this playoff or bust mindset, which is great. Like, I understand that perspective, but he's like, you act like going from 4 to 12 was this massive growth. He goes, it really isn't when you think about it, because out of the 12 spots, one's guaranteed to a G6 and one's guaranteed to Notre Dame. So you've added six more spots and now you're telling me it's playoff or bust? Like, it's not like you added a plethora of spots for us just to go rolling on in when you have. And again, the other part of it is you have four other conferences that aren't having back and forth play. So you can easily have two teams be pulled from two or three are being pulled for the Big Ten automatically. Two, and then you've got two or three being pulled from the Big Ten and the ACC. And so now you really don't have an extra spot. You have three spots, and you're telling the SEC coaches, just play off or bust, bro. There's 16 of us. We're all thrashing each other's throats week in and week out, and only three of us are going to make it. Maybe four. And so that part to me was very intriguing. And for Summerall to say it as well too. And again, all the coaches, their take on it was very interesting because they were basically like, why are you asking this? Like, and Elko is about this, like self-preservation of like, why wouldn't we want more? It helps us. So it's just like, it's kind of like we've talked about before with March Madness. Like, you make the dance, you're good for like 4 or 5 years. And then it's like, all right, dude, you got to win a couple of rounds. So, and even Elko said that he's like, look, it'll be like, hey, I have to make the playoffs and then it'll have to be win a game or two. Like, I can grow into that. And then John said this, which a lot of coaches kind of brush it off. Says, I don't have time to figure out all what that looks like. I'm too busy trying to build a roster and coach our guys. But I do think more football is good football, in my opinion. And here's what I love. And a lot of people say, we'll water it down or whatever. I think people will still probably watch. So I got a pretty good hunch on that. And I have been hammering that drum. I've said that on every morning show. I go, everyone keeps worrying about like, no one's going to watch the regular season. They're not going to mean anything. Could that happen maybe 10 to 15 years from now? Maybe. Is that going to happen in the next 3 years? No. Lane Kiffin's still alive. Okay. He'll give you must watch TV. Florida football, we tune in when we're 4-8, dog. Those Saturdays don't mean anything. Okay. I can promise you they haven't meant much in the last couple of years outside of some talking some smack to the team that we're going up against. But in the grand scheme of things, that Saturday didn't mean much. College football fans are psychos. We are psychopaths. So I do like that take. I do agree with it. Thoughts, boys?
Connor said he has stepped away for a second. I think the reason for 24 teams is, like, I believe it was last year. I mean, you saw Miami didn't win the conference, lost two games, still made it in, but went all the way to the college football playoff. So I think a lot of the committees had seen that and said, well wait, maybe there are some teams that, you know, maybe didn't win the conference, could be left out and make it all the way and possibly win the whole thing. I also think that having Tulane, having JMU, there was a lot of complaints about, like, hey, you didn't get the best teams because Notre Dame got left out, Vanderbilt got left out. So I think they all thought, okay, well, if we got to make it fair, why don't we expand it even more? So I think in a way that I have mixed feelings on it because I'm an old school guy, but I don't want my old school to get in the way of it. I kind of agree a little bit with John Summerall. I kind of agree with it being too much too. But at the end of the day, like, if it creates more intriguing games, if it's good for college football and they eliminate, like, the thing is, too, it's like the players, they're already playing too many games, like, with college football and all that. I think, like, the NFL, don't they play, like, what, 16, 17, 18 games for and then Super Bowl?
Yeah.
So it's like you're risking more of an injury to players. Playoffs. So you have to eliminate some things and all that.
The conversation of eliminating the championship games has been talked about as well with doing this. Look, I think that, like, you mentioned crappy. But here's the thing. Like, we say that, but I said it already. The conference games have lost juice before this. Like, last year, they weren't really, I mean, look, you had an ACC champion not play in the playoff. So clearly that conference championship has no value. It's, you know what I mean? Like, it affected the scheduling, or it affected the rankings for sure, but it allowed for Miami to get in because of it. And so obviously it played a factor into that. But for me, I think the game is growing at such a rapid rate that's where there's this feeling of, like, we don't need this. I really don't know. Hearing coaches like Summerall having his opinion on it, you've got people again, Coach Summerall's coming in from a new perspective as well versus Kirby, who wants to just break off the SEC by itself, which I talked about that today. I've always kind of bragged, like, the SEC and Big Ten could break away and be fine. Hearing him say the SEC just break away and go do their own thing was just psychotic. I was like, all right, there is a line. Kirby found it. Thanks for helping me finally see it. I don't feel that way when I hear the possibility of going to 16 to 24. And maybe... Yeah. And again, I know people may not like that. I don't have a dog in the fight to die on a hill. Like, that's the other thing either. Like, I don't know what the right answer is, because I know whatever they throw at me, I'm going to be excited to watch. That's me personally. Yeah. Like, whatever you give me, I'm pumped. Like, if 24 teams, like, sick, like, this is going to be nuts. Like, there were some teams last year that were, like, BYU, Notre Dame, Texas, Vanderbilt, that would have played in the playoffs. Would have loved to seen the crossovers of the Big 12, the Big 10. I really think too, Here's the other part, and maybe this is where people get on board. Listen to me real quick, fellas. What I miss is bowl games, and ladies. I miss the bragging rights that bowl games could bring. When you had the Big Ten playing the SEC, you had the SEC playing the ACC, you had the Big 12, right? And you're like, who won X amount of bowl games this year? And that was a kind of like the last little bragging right that you could have. The last 2 years, people are like, oh, SEC is like 0-10. Nobody gives a damn about bowl games anymore. Like, that doesn't have any effect on it. You go to 2014 playoff, you're back there again. I mean, you want to talk about meaningful game. It's like, which we hear about the SEC being better than the Big 10, the Big 12. Well, you're going to have the ultimate collision now. I mean, you're having Big 10, SEC, ACC, big, like, the perfect mesh of all the conferences coming together and truly defining, like, hey, who is the best to get here? And I know people may like this, but you go to 24, you just guarantee X amount of spots per conference. Maybe that's not the best idea, because then you're not getting the top 24 teams. So maybe I may have went a little bit too far on that. I think I drove off the deep end. Back up, too far. I like the idea. That's why I do like 24, though. I really think you settle the debate and you just replace that for what bowl season used to be.
Yeah, you're right, though. The bowl games are starting to lose like a lot of luster because nobody cares about them. All they care about is if you get into the playoff now. And I think that's where they fell into that trap of when they expanded it the first time. Now they're like, bowl games, we got to expand it again. Yeah, now we got to expand it again because all these players are opted out and none of the bowl games are intriguing anymore. Nobody cares about them. And I mean, it's going to eliminate a lot of the game. I mean, shoot, when we played, what was it, 2021, we played UCF, like, most of our team was gone. They bragged about beating us when we knew if our whole team was there, we probably would have killed them. But like, that made it a crappy bowl game to watch. It made it more of a closer, intriguing one to watch, but it was still like, you know, unbelievable.
It's honestly, you know what it is, what the bowl games have become? It's a it's what we would like, we've talked about this before, like making a spring game, like you having to play a scrimmage. It's a glorified spring game because what we utilize it for now is like it's the transitional game to next year.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, and like that's what you're looking at. You're looking at players opting out. You see the second guys come in and they play for them. So I think in that aspect, like the expansion is good, but it's like in my mind, I'm just like, I hope this doesn't turn into March Madness. Like we have like 64 teams every year and then everybody's competing. But like I know this too, and I know John Summerall, he said it. He goes, man, if we don't make it to a bowl game, I'm gonna jump off a cliff. Well, if they expand this playoff to 24, I might jump off a cliff if Florida don't make it.
100%. Again, when you go to 24, you then turn into 24 is playoff or bust. And I think Sark really nailed it on the head of like we're all screaming playoff or bust. Like, well, 12 again, 12 is it's not really 12, it's actually 10. And it's and if you're from an SEC perspective, it's not actually even 10 because four other spots are being guaranteed to the conference champion, right? So in reality, it's only, what's the math there? Four spots. Well, six spots. Because it's 12.
Oh, it's 12. Sorry. Yeah, I'm thinking 10. Yeah, six.
I know. Yeah, that's why. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. So yeah, it's six spots in reality that you're clamoring for. And yeah, that's just like, okay, well, that changes a lot, right?
Yeah, like I said, I think if Miami didn't make it as far as they did last year, and then like the people were complaining about JMU Notre Dame, they wouldn't have probably decided to expand this. I think it was Miami making it all the way is when the gears started turning a little bit.
I think it was a combination of, I don't know if it's them going all the way, because I think people felt they were a good football team. I think it was the combination that the fact that you had a champion out of a Power 4 conference that didn't play in it. And then you had two G6 teams playing, and it was like they were literally a waste of time. Like once again, we had it last year where the standings or rankings or whatever were wonky. It caused for kind of, you know, just uneven first round games, which I'm okay with uneven, but it was like just so lopsided. It was like it wasn't even worth it. And so and the fact that you had two teams playing absolute cupcakes, like teams they would genuinely scheduled in the first week of the season. Like that, like think about it. We played USF week two. We should have won. Not. A team from that conference played in the first round of the playoffs. that's blasphemy. And we had them on our schedule as a flyby. We've been going, do you have any thoughts on this, Clark? You kind of had to leave. But you get the gist. We kind of just been going back and forth.
Yeah, no, you're good. I mean, the expansion is, like you said, kind of self-preservation for these coaches, helps them. So why would they not be for it? But yeah, I mean, as a fan, I think 24 might be a little much. I think your sweet spot's probably at about 16. If you really wanted to do expansion as a fan, but I understand why the coaches are for it.
You remember a while back, we were talking about like how much of a disadvantage it can be in the playoff to get a bye week. Like, think about the teams that got the cupcakes and didn't have a bye week, and they were still able to roll on. Granted, they didn't make it as far.
They all won. So, they all won the following week, I believe, right?
All but one.
Well, the two cupcakes won, and then Alabama lost, right? Alabama played week one. They lost.
So, what did I say? The stat was the team that had a bye week. Their teams over course of the last couple of years were 1-7. The teams that had bye weeks,
the team that waited,
yeah,
yeah,
the teams that did not play in the first round,
7-1, yeah,
Yeah.
And so we've had 2 years of it. 1 year, the team that played round one, which Ohio State won, and Indiana, which was the team that's the only, that's the one.
It's the only team that won that had the bye week.
And yes. They won the whole thing.
And they won the whole thing.
Yeah. So it's, it's very interesting. And there is no right or wrong way of doing this here. I said you missed it, Connor, but I was kind of alluding to why I don't mind the 24 because I feel that it replaces what the bowl season used to be, where we would be like, hey, the Big Ten played the SEC, like which conference won more? 24, you would have chaos and a true battle dynamic of which conference is the best, which that I would like. Like, if you're a college football fan, you'd have several
8-4 teams making the playoffs.
I don't understand. And I guess because we've had this years of perfection, I really don't give a damn about your record and what you make it as. Like, there's a part, like, we love March Madness because of the underdog story, right? Like, we love, and so,
that's fair.
An 8-4, like, whatever the line is, who gives a damn what the record is? Like, there's a line, and they just get over the line. I don't care what, nobody looks at it and goes, oh, you went 9, like, once you're in, you're in. Now, your odds play a factor, but I don't really give a damn if you're eight. I don't care what the record is.
And there are two schools of thought. That's yours is one, and the other as somebody that's maybe an older, like, college football purist, where every single game of the season mattered during the BCS era, during the four-team playoff, where if you lost a game, you were screwed. Like, you didn't make the national championship, you didn't make a playoff. And God forbid you lose two and you're like, you don't make it
out.
So I think there's,
we're
like
far
I said, there's two
from that though.
Oh already. Yeah. We're far removed. I mean, but the current format essentially makes it so that if you're a three loss team, you have a really, really hard time making the playoffs.
Yeah.
So you still have a bit of that format where you can lose one, still have a really good shot at making it. Lose two, you're on the fence. Like Miami almost didn't make it, and they had two losses.
Yeah. See, I don't.
And the only reason they made it is because Duke wasn't good enough to make the playoff as an ACC champion.
Also, to your point, like you were mentioning 8-4. I mean, think about like the 2024 year where Lagway was on fire. Florida caught a hot streak, and a lot of these teams can catch hot streaks and
they
win.
They probably
the whole
could have made it at the end of the year.
Yeah,
yeah, but that would have been awesome.
Yeah, but that's what I'm trying to say is like that's what kind of makes it really, really intriguing, cool too, because like you'll get a team that's on a hot streak that you might not think would ever make it, and then all of a sudden they find something and something clicks, and then they're coasting all the way through it.
Yeah, well, you could say that Miami is a prime example of that. Yeah. They lost their two games early in the year, closed the year out on a hot streak, and then made it all the way to the national championship game.
I remember that year when Florida closed the way they did. Everybody was talking, it's like if Florida makes it, that's not a team you want to play right now.
Yep,
like. That I don't understand the issue with that. So you're saying, so last year, we'll go through this real quick. The Iowa was 9-4. So they were 8-4, which was kind of,
but they
Iowa
were 8-4 regular season.
That, in my opinion, would have been go look at their losses. It was Ohio State, Indiana, I believe, Oregon, and one more big one. Like maybe Iowa State. I think they lost to Iowa State, which is a great rivalry game.
Rivalry game.
Great losses, like, and great games. Like they were all like nail biters. Tulane was 11-3. That's 18. James Madison 12-2. USC was 9-4. Michigan was 8-4 because they won their bowl games. Houston was 10-3, and Navy was 11-2, and North Texas was 11-2, and then TCU was 8-4 as well. Again, Michigan probably wouldn't have been the best 8-4 team along with USC. But outside of that, I'm all in. Like I don't know this thing. The Iron Bowl game, Red River will matter
things
with
up, for sure.
I don't believe that. And maybe again, maybe in a decade it loses its juice. But these two teams hate each other, dude. Like they like it's like F, like think about us playing FSU last year. What were we playing for?
Right,
keep them out of a bowl game.
Pretty much.
So if what I mean. That was the same thing.
Mike Norvell had multiple losing seasons in a row.
My point is we find something to get pissed about. We were playing for four wins. They were playing for six. And we were absolutely juiced to the gills, okay? That's what I'm saying, dog. The playoffs aren't going to – if I'm anything, I would think it creates more chaos. Because now you're like, all right, well, I'm 8-4. Like, this last game of the year is going to be juiced. Mm-hmm. these games, Alabama, Auburn ain't been ass for a decade. But we're talking about the Iron Bowl on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma curb stomped Texas for a decade. You still talk about Red River rivalry. Rivalries exist because they exist. Like this, what like it's there's so much bad blood there. It does the work for itself. But again, I can't say I don't have a crystal ball. Will it be diluted? Possibly. I genuinely don't know. I like to think not, because the hate and a disdain that we have for these rivalries are rooted deeper than I think we can even fathom. I don't think we even can comprehend how much. You want to get pissed? We don't play Tennessee anymore. That's something that's gonna die, and that bothers me more than this shit.
Yeah, and then that was like a 90% guaranteed win, if not 95.
Seriously, that game, in my opinion, is iconic. Like it was always in the third week or fourth week of September or whatever it was. Like it just kind of like it helped you know where like it was like one of those, I don't know, it was like a tracker where you were and. At the time of the year, like you didn't even know what day it was. And so it's Tennessee weekend. Okay. And I know now I'm it's like finding the North Star. I'm back in order here. I know where I'm at. And they took that away from us. Like we should have rioted for that. I'm pissed. I'm still pissed about it. Because the Gamecocks, what are we doing?
Yeah. Hey, guess what? I hit that last homer I needed.
No, you didn't. Share it with me. I don't believe you. Let's talk baseball real quick. Unbelievable.
Dave.
Didn't share it with anybody. We got some baseball talk, Clark. You're in,
bub. Yeah. All you got to do, follow me on Prize Picks. That's all I'm saying.
Baseball.
Yeah. So Florida baseball starts their regional this Friday, hosting number 8 national seeds. So if they make it through their regional, they will host a super regional. They start out on Friday at 1 p.m. with Ryder. So I think it's very likely that Sully throws Aiden King. Obviously, you need to plan for the next few games, but you can't plan for game 2 by losing game 1. So Sully traditionally in the past has thrown his ace on the first game to make sure they get that first win. Then you would have the rest of the regional, which is number 2 seed Miami, who Florida beat twice this year. Down in Coral Gables, and then the third seed is Troy. Funny, John Summerall, old school, coming back to play in Gainesville. But I think the biggest news out of this regional is that Miami will be without their starting third baseman, Daniel Cuvée, who is a big bat in the lineup. So we'll interested to see how that plays out for them. But they play Troy on Friday evening, and the Gators should hopefully cruise comfortably to a win against Ryder. And then play either the winner of Miami and Troy on Saturday, and hopefully get out of their regional fairly unscathed.
I love it. Boys get hot. Or Dave will be in the chat saying Sully is washed. So one or the other.
No, it's
the boys are hot right now, man. The bats are hitting.
Rain delay screwed us. I'll die on that hill.
I think is a combination of the rain delay and then your starter getting knocked out by a freak comebacker in the forearm after one inning. Sandifer was pitching pretty well, and then he takes a freaking rocket right to the forearm. Luckily enough, x-rays came back negative. So the question is, when will he be able to properly grip and throw a baseball? You're hoping it's sooner rather than later, but you never know with an injury like that.
Time will tell. Gentlemen, great show. Last few super chats rolling with Carlos. Marsh Mattis is looking to expand. They already are. They're adding to the
72, right?
Yeah, but it's just the like the play-in games. It's like the first four is getting a little more juicy. So I don't. It's you're adding it's like you got the ice cream, you got all the flavors. You're just like, hey, can I get one
going
more?
Going from 68 to 72 is like nothing.
We're going to have this conversation in 10 years about football. What's two more?
And by the way, everybody. Okay, go ahead. No, read Super Chats first. Go ahead.
$2 says, I wouldn't mind going back to the East and West division. Yeah, I don't understand the reasoning for going away from that either. There's just so many. There's too many chefs in the kitchen, it feels like, with this. But yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I know a lot of Texas Tech fans are like heckling Florida fans online. So if you need any ammo, you tell them. Hey, look, like
Dave's got a rhyme for you.
No, it's not a rhyme. You've never won a national championship. Plus, we've scored just as many points as you guys have in the college football playoff.
That's all I got to say. That one, I think, stings a little more. Boys and girls, great show as always. Before I let you go, we've got our guy, Matt Korn, putting out absolute bangers, dropped his first article tonight for Korn's Camp Countdown. Let me just share
He's breaking down everything.
Yeah, he's breaking down all the position groups, his thoughts, his opinions, and what I love is he put on the I gotta pull. I'm struggling here. He put in lieu of the what are we doing?
You gotta go to news.
What is?
Oh, happening? You can't see it on the logo here. He put instead of the pig, it's a corn on the cob, which I think is just incredible.
Nebraska fan,
but it's what's that?
He's a Nebraska fan.
His last name is Korn.
It's a little corny, you know. What a cornball!
He's dude. It's because his last name is Korn. Clark, you get it?
Yeah, cornucopia.
Yep. You know.
band Korn
breaks it all down. He will be joining us tomorrow morning to get more into depth of talking about the wide receiver room and the excitement we can expect for Florida football. So very excited.
There's going to be a lot of cornbread served in the articles, I'm telling you.
Corn Camp Countdown. This is unbelievable. Somebody's got to shut this guy off. Y'all be good. Have a great rest of your night. We'll see you tomorrow. More tomorrow morning live at 7:15. Be there, be square. And then tomorrow night, Gator Summit. Back in action, live at 8:30. Allie, Dave, myself, we'll see you guys there. Peace and love, baby.
The takes don't miss. The prof with the stats. The champ with the fist. World of bringing five cowboys out riding bold. Bulls calling bets. Watch the stories unfold.
Oh, Hollywood.
And it's through the eyebrows running the show.
Oh, Hollywood.
It's hot sports, baby. Let's get it. Let's go.